You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my good friend Anelia Benz returns as my last guest before the mystical date of December 21st, 2012. If I'm not mistaken, our last show was a New Year's Eve special in 2011, so this is about the same time, about a year later. In January 2010, Anelia received a request from Source to go public. This began the establishment of a free information source at www.ascension101.com. Thousands have been deeply moved and triggered by the paradigm-shifting video, which was first released with her in it, and through several meet-and-greets held in California, she has shared her inspiration, vision, and vibration. Since, she has continued to work behind the scenes with lightworkers and public figures to raise the vibration of the planet. This is taking the form of establishing global ascension centers, with the first one being planned here in California. So let's welcome Anelia back to the show now. Hi, Anelia. How are you?
Hi, Lance. It's so good to be here. I just love hanging out with you. You know that.
And the feeling is mutual. So the last time I saw you was during the filming of your music video with Sarah from Super String Creations.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yes. How did the video turn out?
It's still in production. We still need the final touches done to it, like the color fixing. An animator needs to do some animation in it. But the song's ready. And we're just waiting for a source to decide it's time to release, you know, the video and the music. And, of course, you are in it.
Well, of course. Thanks to you.
Yeah,
that, you know, it's funny because acting is not as easy as it looks. Even when you're doing something that seems like it should come perfectly natural. For instance, my little part was just a moment or two to walk through a window frame, as if I'm going into a new dimension. And I could see myself doing it, but when it actually came to moving feet and arms and everything else, it's interesting to see how the different parts of the body don't always know what they're supposed to be doing. So
yes.
There's quite a lot to it. And you looked beautiful, by the way, from what I could see. And you actually sing in that video, don't you?
That's right. Yeah, it's a song that's going to be released hopefully soon.
Oh,
the
good.
Aim of the song, it has two aims. One of them is that everybody who listens to it, and it's going to be released for free on YouTube, will raise their vibration. It's going to teach them something very, very deep. And also the other aim is that we're going to sell the download for $1.29, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And every dollar or after all the PayPal fees and everything are taken out, all the money is going to go towards the Global Ascension Center, the physical location of the Global Ascension Center. So that basically what we're doing is empowering and opening up energy exchange lines for people to become part of the Global Ascension Center.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two main differences, again, between the Global Ascension Centers and, centers that are already in place. One of them is that this is a template we're creating here of creation. It's the actual human collective that's creating it. And when we can create it anywhere at all, so that we don't need like an energy vortex or anything like that to be able to really activate the land, source, and human connection.
Mm-hmm.
Each person will be able to do it themselves. And the other thing is that, of course, you know, I could go out today to a bank or something, get a mortgage, buy the land, make the center, and present it to human society. However, that's really all paradigm. That's the savior energy.
Yeah.
And that's really not what's being asked to do. What's being asked to do is that hundreds of thousands or millions of people really put in their little bit, put in their bit towards creating the centers, right?
Yes.
And that makes them theirs. They become sovereigns. They become the stewards of the land. Right? And then obviously these centers are going to be open to the public. They will be, you know, so the ones that do have buildings on them, or even if it's just a field, there will be events that you can go to support financially or whatever. You know, there's going to be band ratings and stuff like that too. But the aim is that these are open to the public so that anybody can come in. But there's going to be a big sign on the outside saying, this is a sovereign land. So for you to enter, you have to be fully in your body. You have to be fully yourself, the creator, the divine creator, incarnated in that body to enter here. And you're fully responsible for whatever happens when you enter. Right?
So, wonderful.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful, yeah. And I know that you don't talk about it much, but I want to plug in your health center.
Okay.
Because it's like the, everybody who's coming through my website or anything to this interview, Lance is creating the healing annex here in California for the Global Ascension Center. And this is a project he's actually doing himself in his own land. And obviously, it also it's the same energy. You know, it's not like Lance is creating this to save the planet. But it's also people who have to come in and offer their skills, abilities, their funds, any way that they want to participate. And Lance has created a fabulous website that you can go in and donate money or write to him and say, look, I want to take part in this. What can I do? And it's zanymystic.com, isn't it?
Yes, and then I'm working on another one, which is my name, LanceWhite.com, but it's really not open yet. It's not it's a work in progress.
A work in progress.
Yes.
Well, the first one does have the donate button, so you know,
right.
You can just do that,
yeah,
it'll be great, because these centers really are about the human collective creating a new space, and I'm really excited about the healing center too, because it's something that what you talked about, the healers coming in to heal, and also very empowering. And it's not about like a hospital energy or other healing centers where you go in and you have things done to you so that, you know, you get better and then you go away. This is very active, very responsible, the way that you explained it, that you come in and you learn and you do and you shift, right? Yeah, it's very exciting. So I thought I'd mention that too, because it's really part of the same thing.
Well, yes, I appreciate that, but especially since, you know, we're pretty much on the same page with the whole global ascension movement and the raising of consciousness and becoming sovereign beings that we are already. And, you know, I've been doing healing work for about 15 or 20 years with a small group of healers pro bono. And as you know, nobody heals anybody else. The person is in charge or is responsible for their own healing.
Right.
But there are people who have special skills, and so I'm hoping to find those people who have those skills and empower. It's basically empowering the energy exchange. So you'll be happy to know that the center is coming along. There's a second deck that has been completed today.
Wow!
The whole rear deck had rotted out, and so I've slowly been replacing it as I have the funds to do it. And so the second deck was completed today, which comes out of the healing room. So, and as you know, it's also part of there is a high energy in this area that is well known for healing. So.
Yeah.
It all seems to be part of the same energy of us working together and helping each other, empowering each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to more active roles when you call in fundraisings and stuff like that.
Right, right. And that'll probably happen sometime in the near future in 2013.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I didn't expect to be here in 2013. I thought I was going to be lifted. I thought I was going to walk up a crystal staircase and, you know, just disappear into the higher vibrations.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm going to stick around and, you know, see what I can do to assist for a little while longer. No later than 2017, though.
Absolutely, yeah.
I've booked
you till 2017 as well, huh?
Yes.
Twisted your arm and said, don't you dare go. You stay here at least until 2017. Please, please, please.
How about 2015?
No, it's 17, and then we're free. Come free.
And then we're free. All right. All right. Well, okay. We'll just have to have lots of fun then. Because you know, the fun part of it needs to be implemented as well.
Yeah, we it's absolutely right. Yeah, it's about fun. It's about having fun with all this.
Now, with your search for a place, have you continued looking, or are you is that an active process right now, or are you just kind of keeping letting source direct you?
Yeah,
you know, letting your
That's right. It's like you said. It's a very source-directed project, and it's also slow because it's the collective that's taking part in creating this. I'm just facilitating. I'm summoning, but it's actually the human collective people who have to create it.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Yeah. So the land will arrive when it's ready. The funds will arrive when they're ready, and have complete and utter trust that. And I know that this is a process that's going along beautifully. What I've recently done, though, is to separate the Global Ascension Center to create it into its own entity. And we've created an educational nonprofit because the land, that's when I was looking and thinking, what exactly does it do? And people saying, well, you know, you could make it into like a religious thing or a spiritual thing. I'm thinking, no. It's something else. What happens in the land? What's going to happen in the land when the person walks in, when they're in the full sovereignty, when they walk in, they're going to learn in a physical way what it's like to be one with Source and Gaia and their physical body, right? That's what they're going to learn. So it's really like learning through experience. It's very much like trying to teach somebody what a peach, for example, tastes like, and you can't really teach it. You can talk about it and explain it and say things that are similar, but you can't really tell somebody really so they learn what a peach tastes like in theory. They actually have to go and bite it, right?
And chew it and
taste it. And this is very much that way. This is what it's about.
Well, one of the thoughts that comes to mind is that over time, isn't it true that many of the divas, elementals, fairies, and other spirit realms have retreated as cities have built up. They have been incompatible with the spirit of nature. And so this sounds like a place where the elementals and the nature spirits would be able to interact freely with sovereign beings, that would be something that would be encouraged to experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, we know many people do that already.
Right. Yeah, just look at my yard.
Right. Yeah, you always walk outside barefoot.
Absolutely. With the elementals, and even if you do live in a city right now, if you have a yard or even a balcony with plants, you can call the elementals that normally would be with that plant in a more natural environment and support them, right, and converse with them, and you'll find that your plant or your tree or whatever is going to really flourish tremendously.
Absolutely. So now, what else has been going on since I saw you last? You've been on a couple of trips, I think, across the globe to South America. And you've been doing some teaching and collaborating. Is there anything that you'd like to share about any of that?
Yeah, I went to Spain as well. And all these trips really are about joining in intention, right? Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things, and it has become very clear, I couldn't, in 2010, understand really. I knew that I had to give out the message, so that's why I had to go public. The same message of empowerment that many other people are giving, but in a way that could be understood by certain, you know, groups of people, especially the ones that are still asleep or maybe they're just waking up, and even people who are very advanced in their spiritual path. But it's very very specific. It's the same message, though. So one of the things that I was wondering all that time ago is, like, what's the point? Why do it? You know? And the answer has been very clear coming to me the past few months with all this work around the planet. And it's one of intention. As one person, without any self-interest whatsoever, and no need to have an ego or anything like that either, becomes a public and a household name, people will see through the energy that the message is clear. Now, after the people become acquainted with this person, which in this case would be the Inelia Benz person, they would, for example, join the newsletter, the Facebook page, Twitter, or whatever. And that creates an enormous tool for us all because, for example, now we have, like, I don't know, about 50,000 people in all the different networks, right? The Facebook page, Twitter, or more probably, and the newsletter, Ascension 101. And when there's an intention exercise, when we put it out, there's thousands and thousands of people joining in that intention exercise. And there's where the power is. Because when one person intends something, it has an effect, but when you have 20,000 people having the exact same intention at the same time space, it's amazing. It really, it shifts things so quickly, and it can it creates the new paradigm. But one of the sayings that I've been saying over and over, like, the fifth dimension and the new paradigm is not a location, it's a creation, right? We create it. We create it with that intention, and we, by joining with others, it's a time of communion, it's communicating and joining with others in that intention, without fear, right? Because we have the same intention, it's out of free will, it's what resonates with us, and that's what it's all about. What resonates with us, we follow that, and we do it, and we have that intention. So, yeah, it's been really very, very interesting, very interesting.
Now, as you've been traveling around, have you noticed that there are more people that are waking up during this time, just around the world? Does it seem like there's a process that is quickening?
Yes, I'd say so, definitely. This is not something yet that you'll hear in the news. This type of thing doesn't get any airtime in our media, right?
Yeah.
But it's a huge awakening. If we want to look at through the right brain, I can't remember which side of the brain that's the logical one. If you want to look at it logically or with proof, just think about 20 years ago. 20 years ago, just 20 years ago, you would go to the supermarket, talk to a random person and ask them, do you know what chakras are? And 99% of them would not know what a chakra was. Right? Turn to another person and say, do you know what an aura is? And they wouldn't know either. And or manifestation, right? Or the power of being a sovereign. All these things people did not know about. Nowadays, they're household names. You know, everybody knows what these things are, all around the planet. Just by knowing these things, they it's a process of awakening. It's that information that of our innate natures, right? We're not just meat and bones walking around with a brain that's, you know, electrical and thinks, you know, it's like even scientists nowadays are saying the brain is a receptor, you know, you don't actually create your thoughts there, you just receive them. It's like, where are they coming from then, right?
Right, good point. Very good. Well, it does seem that there's, you know, that ties into the idea of a 100th monkey theory that if we reach a quantum, that things will shift extremely quickly. And of course, you've always said, and from the beginning, that we could shift things right now if there are enough people aligned in the collective.
Yeah.
So there's no need to wait for anything to happen. We're there already. But it does seem that the process is not as zippity-doo-dah as I thought it might be.
Right, not as quick or as sudden. Yeah, it's like trying to turn an enormous ship.
Yeah.
It takes a while, you know, and you go ahead.
Well, and haven't there been people incarnating for quite a long time to help facilitate this shift?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, I'd say the first ones that really started coming in to facilitate the shift is 100 years ago.
Mm, right.
That's when it started. That's when the shift started, about 100 years ago. And it has been increasing every decade. There's more and more people of a higher vibration incarnating, which is facilitated by the generation previous to them, right, or the years before them. Because as more people of higher vibration come in, even more high vibration beings can then enter the planet. Because before it was too uncomfortable, it wasn't somewhere they could survive even. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't come in. But as more and more, like the pioneers started, you know, just a few, and it wouldn't last very long, but it was enough. Right, to open the door for more and then more and more. It's an invasion. People talk about, you know, it's a planetary invasion. The Earth has been invaded by light beings.
It's about time.
Yeah.
It's been under the control, for the most part, of the dark team for quite a few thousand years, hasn't it?
Yeah, but, I mean, they're just a manifestation of our own desire to experience that. Right.
Right.
There's no, like, victim and aggressor here, really. It doesn't really exist. We manifested them because we wanted to have that experience. And now it's really quite ruthless if we think about it. We've decided we don't want that experience anymore, and they've got to leave, you know? So, yeah, it's not that pretty when you think about it, but, yeah.
Yeah, and it seems that the more light that comes onto the planet, the more that particular aspect, the shadow side of ourselves, wants to control and stomp it out.
It's survival.
Yeah.
They cannot survive here in light. It's like trying to, it's like, for example, you have a glass and of water and there's fish in it or something, and then you empty the water out of it. The fish are going to die, right? It's the environment, as it becomes, the vibration of the planet raises more and more, it becomes more like, I don't know, toxic to the shadow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens, even if you have a room that's been dark for thousands and thousands of years, millions of years, you bring one candle in there and it's no longer dark.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a Buddhist saying that I really love. And it's the same on the planet. Darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. It's just impossible. You can't do it. It's survival. I mean, they're trying absolutely everything in their power to change the tide, or, you know, it's like, you know, they're trying to bring it back or slow or not making as huge as it could be, you know, as a species evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's survival. It's the only way they can survive.
Mm-hmm. It seems that the many events are contrived in order to lower the vibration of the collective, in order to keep us in a low vibration. And examples are some of those things that go on, like the lone gunman situations. Those have a tendency to ripple throughout the whole society. But what happens is the people gain in love, and the power of love raises the vibration, and so it kind of backfires, doesn't it?
Well, what they're trying to activate is anger and also the victim-aggressor paradigm.
Right.
When we think about all those children that died, for example, we're thinking of them as victims, right? We're not thinking of them as eternal divine beings who decided to have that experience here.
Right.
We think of them as victims. And when we think about them as victims, we are giving strength to that victim-aggressor paradigm. We're giving strength. We feel sorry for their parents, you know, and then we give strength to them as victims too. So they get really stuck in there and they can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you change that vibration and say, look, you're a divine, eternal being, and please don't have that type of experiences here anymore because I don't want you having that experience in my paradigm, that's a bit different, isn't it? It's like slightly different. And then, you know, you can stay here but realize that you're a divine being. You can step out of that cycle of, the victim-aggressor cycle. Or if you want to continue with learning or whatever, having those experiences, then you're going to have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a slightly different vibration to it. The other vibration that's being spread quite a bit is the savior energy. You know, they're saying, oh, you know, with a principal or whatever, they jumped on top of the government to try and stop him killing the children, and they died, you know. So it's the savior and martyr energy, which is the old paradigm energy also.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, if that had been me, I would have done the same. You know, it's something you do, right? But
right.
the way it's being used in the media is completely different to possibly the energy that they had.
Yeah. Right, right.
They weren't going in as saviors or martyrs. They weren't. They were just doing what's logical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stop the aggression.
Yes, and that's something that it's so strange because intuitively and instinctively we know to do this when it's personal, up close and personal in our own lives. When there's something going on, we know to, you know, jump in front of, push somebody out of the way of the speeding train or the bullet or whatever. And yet, when it comes to wars and drones and murders and killing dictators and replacing them with other dictators, we just don't seem to make the connection that this is all part of the same energy.
Absolutely.
And that it's all negative, and it needs to be it needs to stop.
Right. It needs to stop within our own paradigm. We disagree with it, right? We don't want that in our experience. And we just make that choice extremely clear. We put it out there, and we look at, you know, we get triggered. If we get triggered through the savior energy, we get triggered through the victim or the feeling sorry or upset or even fearful, you know, I'm sure lots of parents are going, getting their children not to go out anymore or wondering if they're going to be safe. Fear, right? Fear. It's the lowest vibration you can have. And it's all about spreading that as far wide as you can. And somebody mentioned with regards to the death, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, but we kill, like, hundreds of children in, I can't remember what country in the Middle East, every year, and nobody bats an eyelid, right? And this is Americans going there with drones or whatever and killing all these children, but we don't bat an eyelid because they don't appear in the news and they're not used in that way. Right. They're not used to really amp up the victim, aggressor, savior, martyr paradigm.
Right. Very good point. One of the things that I feel I would be remiss in my duties to all the listeners if I didn't ask you about the magical date that, since you're the last guest on the show before December 21st, 2012, which I have been waiting for probably a decade or longer and never thought I'd make it to, and here we are less than about a week away, yes?
I know. Isn't it amazing? Yeah.
I don't know about you. I haven't, usually I can tap into the energies and sense into them, and I have, of course, my own views about what may or may not happen, and they're probably all possible realities. But do you have any clues or any take on this time then, as far as the incoming energies and the shifts that will be going on with the galactic alignment and all of that?
You know, I've always said that during this period of time, I would just buy some popcorn and sit back and watch.
Right.
And I've always said it, you know, it's like,
yeah,
Gaia wants a very gentle transition. It's going to take 2 to 3 generations, right?
Right.
Critical mass is going to be reached 2017. Now, this period of time that we're going through right now is a human collective construction. And yes, it's just as real as anything else that you can think of. It's very, very real. Because the human collective is the one that creates reality, right? What happens on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there might be things that happen and whatever, the energy summed up, windows of opportunity. Where are we going through right now at a global or planetary level? Is a window of infinite possibilities. So you can go as far as your imagination takes you to create your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is like breaking through that from belief to knowing that you mm-hmm. are the creator, right? And also breaking through the knowing that you're not really a singular constructed being. You're not an individual. You are part of a larger being, which is a human collective.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the universe. You are the matrix. You are the planet. You are everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take a while. I mean, that's not going to come in until way after 2017, I'm sure, at a collective level. That's way ahead of its time. But at least to know that you're the creator, that's something that is coming in right now. The more people that realizes this, then the more we are able to remove the victim-aggressor cycles from our reality matrix and
mm-hmm.
also allow people, give them the biggest secret known, unknown or known to man that's being kept from the planet, from the people. The biggest secret is that the new paradigm is not a location. It is a creation, and it's not somebody else's creation. It is your creation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the people who create it. And it's the same for this sphere. I mean, all of the dimensions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest secret. Why? Because by keeping it secret, they sell the illusion that it's solid and cannot be changed. Or people don't have a say in what happens here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the
mm-hmm.
only reason why it's being kept secret. Human beings are the creators. They're I mean, people talk about, oh, you know, angels are jealous of humans because they don't have free will, and we do, and we are the favorites of God, and all these type of things, all the myths and stories throughout history and throughout the peoples of the world. They're very similar things. And it's because, basically, in this reality, physicality, we create the physicality we want to have, right? And It's very, very simple. Everybody is a divine, creative energy. And you're going to continue creating, whether you do it consciously or unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
The power is the same. But it's either used by yourself or by somebody else.
Absolutely. And it's about making the unconscious part conscious so that we become not unconscious beings, but conscious beings, so that we're creating consciously, and we understand our shadow side has been embraced, and we are one or unified.
Right, exactly.
And then, as you said, in the quantum level, everything is entangled. So there is nothing that you can't separate anything out and say, well, this exists separate from everything else. Everything affects everything else. So we literally are each other as well. So what we do to somebody else, we are literally doing to the larger self that is the all that is.
Yep, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. Now, you were mentioning some timelines before. You've talked about the collective being on the fence in the past and the possibility of several timelines splitting up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still contemplating that idea?
Well, in 2011, in about August, that's where the timeline split at a collective level. There was two, and there's still two. That's where the world split kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is basically a continuation of the duality of light-dark. so people can continue having an experience of victim-aggressor or suffering, learning through suffering, or serving others. The bodhisattva can go there because they need somebody to serve. All those, right, are there. And then the other one is a duality of light-love, where Gaia has decided to go, and anybody who chooses to as well, become empowered. Light love means that you become a conscious being, a conscious creator, and realize that you basically manifest your reality, but at a very deep level. Those are the two choices, and it's a very, very simple to choose. You know, it's like if you're in fear, you're going the way of the light dark. So process your fear. Fear comes in at you from every angle possible right now. The media, they're using also these amplification devices, technology, to amp up fear at a vibrational level throughout all the cities and everything. Radio shows, TV, music, videos, movies, newscasts, newsletters, newspapers. All these are ingrained with fear. So fear is coming at you from every angle. Now, if you start processing your fear, then you're no longer affected by that. And as soon as you are able to do that, your consciousness becomes expanded, right? You become more aware. Your awareness increases. And then it's just a continuation of that. And also, the other thing is to fully 100% incarnate your higher self into your physical body. That's the other one that you can do. And really integrate also the operating system of the new paradigm into your body, which is light love, basically, empowered light love. And the other thing that I've been talking about the past few weeks is really watch the intention behind each word that comes out of your mouth or that you type or write down. Each word that comes out of your mouth or you type and write down. Watch the intention and energy behind those words, because those are energy. And those create and affect your reality and the reality of those around you.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I know for myself, when I catch myself with a lower thought, expressing some kind of lower thought, often I'll rephrase that to, you know, rephrase it on a higher level so that it's not something that I'm putting out there as an intention.
Right. And, you know, if that happens, because it happens to all of us, sometimes we get mad or angry or whatever. Stuff comes out of our mouth. We take it back.
Right.
You know the saying,
right.
I take that back? It's actually
right.
True. You can take that energy back.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so if you get stuck there and you go, oh, my goodness, now what have I done? Take it back.
Right.
And rephrase
exactly.
It, reform it, and then release it in a new way.
Yeah. And then isn't another empowering tool to, one of my last guests talked about absolution, but I'm thinking in terms of our ability to forgive ourselves or to absolve ourselves from what perceived wrongs and quote, sins, unquote.
Well, you know, I don't believe in all those things because it's all about the present time, but I do understand that people carry those energies.
Right.
Now, what I can say to you is that this moment is new. It has never existed before, so you're clean slate. Now, you can change your mind at any moment and any time.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you've done things in the past that created a lot of a negative energy, you can look at the situation and say, I've changed my mind.
Right.
I've changed my mind.
Right. Absolutely right. Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I did Werner Erhard's EST training in the 1970s, and that was exactly what he was talking about, you know, that there is no past and there is no future. The history that we tell ourselves is just a story, and that you can just as easily change it, you know, as easily as you can change your mind, as well as you can change your preferences. So,
right.
Yeah, and something that we can all benefit from, I'm sure.
Yeah. And the key, of course, is what do you do from now on, this moment forward?
That right. Right. So I'm with you on the popcorn thing, although I can't eat popcorn because of my stomach. But I'm just going to sit back and watch the show. We have first-class tickets. We paid to be here.
Absolutely.
You know, we incarnated, and it's not for no reason. So it'll be interesting to see how the energies unravel. And there's so many different theories that I've been paying attention to, and mostly not paying attention to because I don't want to fall into any particular belief system. But one of them that I see popping up recently is the idea of 3 days of darkness.
Mm, yes.
And so that's something that is mentioned. And another one is an intense high consciousness energy beam from the center of the galaxy that will raise us all in vibration, and we'll all be having epiphanies, and some people will go mad.
Well,
I think there are people going mad already.
Yeah, I can attest to that, because when you're working, I collaborate with people from around the planet, right? Collaborate on projects. And I always warn them that this project is extremely high vibrational. So any type of darkness or shadow that you're still carrying around is going to come up to be processed and looked at, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I warn people about this. And they go, yeah, sure, you know. But there's very few who actually survive the whole go, because it's so intense that they shatter. They literally shatter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their egos refuse, and then if they refuse to shatter, that's even worse, because then they go mad. You know, they go nuts and they go off, and oh gosh, you know, it's not a pretty picture. But
right.
Yeah, if you bring in something that is intense like that or very high vibrational, it's going to burn through everything very quickly, and that can shatter minds, can shatter egos, can shatter lives, can really dissolve, and that's the purpose of them. It dissolves everything so that you can just rebuild it in a new vibrational level. Right? But if you resist it, it will shatter like a mirror. And then the 3 days of darkness, I suppose, that came through, again, about a few years ago. I saw it, you know, the information. I had never heard of it before, but it came through one of my meditations. And it was definitely a possibility, but it's really quite irrelevant now, because it could be used as a method to separate the two groups of collective consciousnesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the fear-based one and the enlightened, the awakened ones.
Mm-hmm.
In that the ones that are asleep are going to go into a tremendous amount of fear. So they're going to manifest that fear into a very solid, dark reality. And the ones that are awake are going to go into bliss and really meditate and join oneness and the center of the universe and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to move on to that empowered reality. You know, it was in the books. I don't really know whether it's going to be carried out. I can't really tell. I can't really see it. But it's quite irrelevant as far as I'm concerned.
Isn't that one of the reasons why there was the thought of a delay with people awakening, that it was better to have a gentle, more a longer process, that you mentioned Gaia Sophia was more interested in achieving more of the people from, you know, these two groups, having more of them have the possibility of awakening rather than moving into some kind of paradigm in which they're not able to make a choice.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a very gentle, slow process that Gaia wants, and the planetary collective as well. And, you know, we can look at the proof since last year or 2 years ago when I started talking about all this. People were talking left, right, and center about one disaster happening after another, right? And there were some close calls, they really were, but they didn't come to fruition because Gaia and the Planetary Council and the Human Collective chose not to have those experiences.
Right.
So where, yeah, there were a couple of things that happened that were artificially created, right? Like the huge earthquakes in Chile that were HARP created, and the thing that happened in Japan as well, and there was somewhere else as well. But they didn't go ahead. They were supposed to start triggering the entire planet, right? And it didn't happen. It was very localized, and it didn't spread, basically.
Well, you know, it's so funny because many of the things that are going on seem to be technologically driven, you know, through HARP and the chemtrails and the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult to tell who's doing what, but in most cases, it's fairly easy to see when the technology is being used to create these disasters on various numerological magical dates and to, you know, create a certain outcome for us.
Yeah.
And I think people are really cluing into this.
Yeah.
They're becoming very aware that this is going on, that this magic show that is being pulled off is not a positive one, and it certainly doesn't have humanity in it as a beneficiary. You know, the part of the control paradigm. So people are really waking up to that.
Yeah. But there again, if we think about it really beyond that point, we have manifested these individuals who are creating these type of disasters and things.
That's
right?
True.
So they're still our responsibility. They're still our creation. So it doesn't really matter whether it was a natural occurrence or the planet shifting poles or the sun going through its nova thing and creating the darkness or whatever. It doesn't really matter how we created it. It's all our creation, really. But yeah,
right.
I mean, the huge things haven't happened, even though they were foreseen and they were on the table. They really were. It just didn't happen because they didn't have the collective or planetary agreement for that to happen.
Right.
But they might pop up with other things, and they might get agreement. You know, and that's not a bad thing. It's what we've created.
Right. Right. Now, what is you've had enough of a opportunity to experience the vision that people have been sharing about Gaia Sophia's journey and the choice to move along a path of light love. What does that look like? What's a taste of that you've been able to see for yourself?
Well, it's really amazing because she basically came online. She was very quiet or maybe asleep or hands off for all these thousands of years so we could have the light-dark experience as a species and as a planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years ago, she decided to come online. She became conscious all of a sudden. She was conscious. And she gave back the power to women. I mean, I know it sounds strange, but that's how I saw it, that the power came back to women. And that's not, you know, people talk about power or they can be triggered by the word power, because for the past few thousands of years, all power has meant was power over others.
Right.
And the abuse of power. Mm. But power is just chi. It's the ability to do, and it's a current. It's chi. It's energy.
Mm-hmm,
that's all
mm-hmm.
it is. And we can use it anywhere we want. And that's what I saw. The power was because we had given power to men for all those thousands and thousands of years to have all these experiences. And then it was returned by Gaia to women and to herself as well.
Mm-hmm.
Women went out there, and there's women, there's loads of men as well. When I say women, I mean, I don't just mean the people walking around in female bodies.
Right.
But the people who have a fully active feminine configured energy field in their bodies.
Right, right.
That doesn't necessarily mean they're women, as in the, you know, they have
breasts, as in the sex.
Vaginas or whatever, you know.
Right, right. Divine feminine aspect.
Right, right. And there's some women, of course, in physical able-bodied women who don't have that active in themselves.
Right.
So they were not able to receive it. So yeah, when so that happened, and then what was going to happen after that was a global complete ascension of the species and the planet. And that's where I came in. I mean, I came in with that aim in mind, or that work, or that program, because I always see myself as a program, like a program being executed, right?
Right.
And that was it, you know, to raise the entire vibration of the entire planet, the whole species, human species, and every other species on the planet.
Right.
And then in this beginning of 2011, there was new requests and things being brought to the Planetary Council on Gaia, and the decision was taken by the entire species and the entire collective and the entire Planetary Council that they were going to split, because there were so many individuals on the planet that were not ready to let go of light-dark experiences.
Mm-hmm.
They still wanted to have that experience. They weren't ready to release it. Whether it was because they hadn't finished their learning, or because they really enjoyed it, or whatever. They were not ready to release it. So it was decided that it was going to be split, so that everybody had access to their free will, right? Mm. And nobody was going to be forced to ascend. Because if you force somebody to ascend, they shatter, right?
Right.
Like a mirror, like a dissolving of ego, but a shattering like a mirror.
Right.
That was decided then, and that's when the split happened. And I wasn't a happy camper at the time. I was very upset about it. You know, that's a little bit of ego from me. It's like, how dare they? You know, it wasn't what I came here to do, and now I can't do it and fail, whatever, blah blah. You know, all that stuff that comes in through the human side, right?
Right.
But you know, once I understood what was happening, it was fine. There was no real attachment to outcome as far as I'm concerned. I completely and utterly trust that the human species is making the right decisions for the human species.
Mm-hmm.
100% know this. I know this. So it doesn't matter what the human species decides to experience. I know for 100% it's the correct experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now,
right. And then it just kind of works out to what we choose and when, at the time we choose it. So those who would be going into the light-dark paradigm, I'm guessing that at that transition moment that it certainly wouldn't be as dark as it has been in this particular game board. That it would be that it isn't necessary to experience the light dark to such extremes that we have had the experience of.
Oh, I don't really know how extreme it's going to be for them, because they're not my
right.
job.
Right,
they're not
and
my work. I have no attention
right.
on that side of the
right.
equation at all.
Right,
they're really
and
quite irrelevant to me.
I really
don't go there because it's. It's a waste of time.
Right,
I have
much right.
time. So all my attention, all my energy goes to those who choose to be empowered. So give them, you know, the message, give the message out so they become conscious of the message, the calls to action, the newsletter, and all the work that I do is mostly to do with calls to action, intention exercises, and giving tools that people can use to reconnect with Gaia, to really move into that space of empowerment. And that's all my attention goes to those, because that's
right,
the program
right.
that I'm running, you know?
Well, right, and I'm with you on that one, too. Especially, you know, with I came in also to save the world, you know. I think a lot of us came in with that intention that it was all or nothing. And so it's taken some adjustment to realize that would be an abridgment of free will to force everybody to ascend or awaken and
exactly.
move forward into what I see as a much more positive and wondrous world that we are co-creating together. So, but that is the one that I'm looking at.
Yes.
And the sooner the better.
Absolutely, yes.
The sooner the better. Do you see some transitions going on in the next few years that will be extreme as the awakening occurs and the realizations of our ability to alter negative experiences increases?
When I look ahead, all I see is a homecoming. I do see a lot of work, right?
Okay.
The work of informing and teaching and guiding into empowerment so that people become independent and then they can go off and guide and teach and empower others. It's like, one of those, what's it called, that you one person touches another two people and those two people touch another two people and it just grows and grows.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of that happening. And also community. There's no longer any need or reason for anybody to feel they're alone, even if they're the only person in their family who's awake. Get in touch with Lance. He's got loads of stuff to do in his land. Get in touch with the Global Ascension Center, globalascensioncenter.com. There's loads of stuff to get done there. Meet with other people who are empowered and co-create. Think about projects. Go and do them. Join with others.
Yes, absolutely. That to me, that seems like the saving grace, that this is the time when we need to come together as individuals and support each other, and that is the literal creation of the new world.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's important because there's a lot to do. There's a lot of work to be done, and it's fun work.
It is fun. It is fun,
and it'll be more fun as we find more of each other to play with and co-create and say, well, what do you think about a garden here and a beautiful little pond over here? And, well, let's do something over here. Become the artists of our own lives together.
Right.
It just seems like it could be such a wonderful time for all of us.
I sure hope so.
So we're not quite out of time yet. We've got a few more minutes left, and I wanted to give you a moment to share anything that you wanted to, either information that you would like to share with the listeners tonight as with part of tonight's message, or anything that you have anything that you'd like to share before we close off on this show tonight.
Yeah, there's a new video up on my website. It's under the tools section. So if you go to ascension101.com, you click on tools, and there's a Gaia meditation. Now, you can download it onto your MP3 player there. There's a little link that you can download it, and it's also on video. The download is just the meditation. The video has the before and after the meditation conversation. Now, go in there and do that exercise, because it's just amazing. It's really, really amazing. It was a guided, Gaia came through and she guided us and she took us by the hand, took us to different places to reconnect with her, and it was just wonderful. I'd say if anything, if you want to do something this month, that would be something to do. It's really quite amazing. And I said, if you want to take part in the calls to action, the intention exercises, and all these wonderful things, then click onto the newsletter, subscribe on my website. And the calls to action get sent out there, and they're really potent and powerful. There's no need to be alone anymore, that's all I can say.
Wonderful. Well, I've been through some of your guided meditations at the meet and greets, and you don't have anything scripted. It's just the energy starts flowing, and it's tangible. You can feel it. So,
yeah.
I highly recommend doing these exercises, and especially this one. I'm gonna check it out right after the show. I just love the experience. The flavor of it is so wonderful. So what's going to be, before we have to sign out, what is coming up for you next? You have any trips that you're going to be working on, or are you going to be staying local?
For the rest of this year, I'm going to stay here in California.
Okay.
In January, I'm going to go to South America. And in February, we're going to be launching a new project that you're one of the few people who know about it. So come to listen to the Zany Mystic Fireside Chat to find out all about it. Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. A wonderful new project.
I know it will be. Well, everything you do is wonderful, Anelia. You're just wonderful. I just can't say enough about you. That's positive. So people just have to have that experience, and we can do that on the video tonight. So
yeah,
and on the shows and on all the work that you do. So I can't thank you enough for being you.
Oh, thank you, Lance. And you're one of my favorite people on the planet, and you know that.
Yes. Well, the feeling is mutual, so it makes it a much more interesting place, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah. I think I would have left Sacramento by now if you weren't just down there. You know, every now and then I tap into you and say, what are you up to?
And I feel it, too. I feel it. Well, Anelia, we've hit the top of the hour, so I want to thank you for joining us on this last show before December 21st, another miraculous show, and have a wonderful evening.
Well, thank you, Lance, so much for the invitation. I love you so much.
I love you, too.